How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of July. Do the Jazz have enough gravity? Will the Jazz be able to compete with this collection of lineups? And we'll take your questions on Facebook Live. It's all coming up on Locked On Jazz. How are you? It's a Facebook edition live. Your questions coming in. A little funky because we're doing it through my tablet. It's coming in upside down, so I have to kind of look in weird places. So my eyes will be all weird on Facebook. For those of you just listening on the regular audio version, it won't bother you at all. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Memo to everyone, if you are going to go to a golf tournament with your daughter, do not do Palm Springs in July when it's 110 degrees. No, we had a great time. It was run really, really well, but it was just too hot. So bad move, bad parenting move by dad. And great time with friends, but bad parenting move by dad. All right, jump aboard with your questions. We want to have you aboard the show today. This show is really for you. And today's show has two sponsors, Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate and our good friends over at Murdoch Hyundai, with the great deals going on until Pioneer Day. Only a few days left on that on both the Tucson and the Santa Fe. Devin Cash has been an original sponsor of and just been great to Locked On Jazz. And the coolest thing is the amount of great responses I'm getting from people about Locked On Jazz, or about Devin Cash. If you are looking or in the market to buy a house, sell a house, have Devin take some time, give you a free market analysis of your house. Even if you're way down the road, he's such a cool dude, he'll take the time. 801-759-1495. 801-759-1495. I can go back to when I got the first email from Zach Campbell about, I'm writing to you because I had to change my pin across the world. You read mine early days. Well, I've moved from Hawaii to Bountiful, Utah. How'd I get here? My love of the Jazz, your hard work, and Devin Cash. Devin really went to bat for us, ensured we got our home, not just into our home, but just into our not into a home, but into our house. He kept us in the loop on every step of the way, handled adversity like a champ. What most people don't realize about realtors is their ability to establish rapport with your counterpart plays a huge role in how the sale proceeds. And that is what I continually get about Devin Cash and why you should give him a call. 801-759-1495. I want to point you toward two things before we get too deep into the show. Nylon Calculus has done some really cool stuff on the makeup of championship teams. And the makeup of the championship team thing for the Jazz, I don't feel like we're trying to win a championship this year. We're trying to figure out how can this collection of team with Rudy as the core guy, how good can they actually be? And there's a bunch of arguments there and a bunch of discussions to be had there. I said the other day on the air that one of the things I'm trying to figure out a little bit is the value. So I don't have any doubt that we're going to be that we're going to still be a slow possession team. I think that when you look at that, the way we play, what Quinn fundamentally believes in, I think that's just who we are as a franchise. But I do think that with Ricky Rubio, we can start to get more offensive opportunities out of the fast break. So one thing I'm going to try to see if I can build is, okay, of the slow bottom 5-6 teams, what's the average fast break points? And what if you actually up that a little bit? So that, in other words, in a 90-possession game that's much slower than everybody else, sure, the Warriors might be getting 15 points of fast break play, but if everybody else who plays slow possessions only gets 7 or 8, and we can go get 11 and then slow people down, what does that do? I think it's interesting. This research was done by myself and a listener in 2015, so I need to update it. But just like, can the Jazz make the playoffs with this team? Well, the average win-loss record for the 74 teams between 2013-14 and 2001-02 that were a top five defensive team in the NBA is 54-28. 54-28 is the top five team. Looking deeper into six of the 74 teams ended with less than 45 wins. Okay? 31 of the 74 were between 45 and 53, basically a 5 to 8 seed. 26 of the 74 were between 54 and 61 wins, and 11 of the 74 were between 62 wins. Okay, now that's, you know, the Warriors and the Spurs and those teams. So a lot of it has to do with bottom 10 offensive teams, and there's a chance we've got a bottom 10 offensive team. All six of the teams were under 45 wins with a bottom 10 offense. 11 teams were in the 40. So the bottom 10 offensive teams, 11 teams were within 45 to 53 wins, and two teams finished with a record between 54 and 61. Uh-oh. Facebook Live has freaked out. I think it was because it was upside down the whole time. So you look at that. The top 10 offensive teams were good. Middle 10 offensive teams, 18 teams were between 45 and 53 win range. Nine teams between 54 and 61, and four teams were 64. So if the Jazz can maintain a top five defensive team, you've got, ideally you're better than a team that's ending up in the top, if you're bottom 10 offensively, it's still going to be an issue. So can Quinn construct a team without a primary scorer in an egalitarian fashion that is a middle of the range offensive team? And that's really the issue, that is at hand for Jazz fans to look at. All right. People want to know the pack for our new players. I think that's a great question. So let's see if we can go do that for you. So our Epe Udo, I don't have. Let's go to Atlanta and look at Thabo Sefolosha. Thabo last year was a negative 0.4 pack player. The previous year in Atlanta, he was a, I'm going to be relaunching the, he was a positive 0.4 player. Give me 1 second here. I apologize to everyone. We're going to relaunch this, and we're going to relaunch it with me in the correct way. Relaunch of, this is me typing. This is actually a trick, by the way. People always ask me, how do you tweet and while you're live on the air? If I say what I'm tweeting, I can actually do it. So relaunch of Locked On Jazz on Facebook Live with your questions. Join us. And I have relaunched Facebook Live with your questions, and hopefully, ha! All right, so hopefully people will rejoin us. We'll get good questions today on that. So Sefolosha was a .4 2 years ago. Last year was a negative .4 pack player. What was the difference? Because he was a positive .4 pack player with a 33.6 three-point percentage. In 15-16, he shot 50% overall. He was able to get some back cuts. He's a very good mover without the basketball. Last year, he stopped going to the free throw line as much. He went 6.8 point 6.8% of his possessions. The year prior, he went 9%. So that's something to keep an eye on. He needs to still go to the free throw line to be an efficient player, but he's right about the league average in regards to offensive players. And I think when you look at him, and that's, you know, that's truly what I think you can anticipate from him, is he's an average offense player. And that's what I think the Jazz have done so much here, is that the Jazz have actually just built a team that is a collection of somewhat average players. And that's not actually the worst thing ever. It sounds weird to think that that's not the worst thing ever, but it actually, average players are hard to come by, and if the Jazz have 240 minutes of average players, they'll probably turn out to be all right. I will do a pack standing this weekend. So let's look at Jerebko. Jerebko, and I'm in the 15-16 season, was a even pack player. 9% of his possessions to the free throw line, 29% of his possessions were 3-point shots, which is good. In the 16-17 season, and Jerebko played about 14-15 minutes a night, he was, again, absolutely league average, again, stopped going to the free throw line. Instead, he shot 41% of his shots as 3-point shots. So he became almost exclusively a catch-and-shoot player, and instead stopped going to the line and therefore became a little less efficient. So he needs to, both these guys need to maintain their aggressiveness going to the basket, and I think that's something that hopefully we'll see from them. Now, the area where the Jazz offense takes really – Let's not hide this. A significant hit is that Gordon Hayward was a 1.6 pack player and George Hill was a 1.3 pack player. That's really good. And both those players being gone. Now, Boris Diaw was a minus 0.6 and Trey Lyles was a minus 1.2. The negative on those two last year offensively is pretty significant. And I think that that's one area where the Jazz might be a little bit better than people realize. Shelvin Mack was a minus 0.5. And so the Jazz eliminating those three players go to minus, that's eliminating minus 2.3. The viewpoint I have on how you build a championship team is, can you get all of your pack players to be average? Now, the key guy here is Rodney Hood, because Rodney Hood was minus 0.7 last year. If you go to the 15-16 season on this, and Rodney Hood was a minus, where's Rodney Hood? Rodney Hood, where's Rodney Hood? He was a dead even pack player, dead even. So the issue is what you can get out of Rodney Hood. If Rodney Hood is a negative pack player and he's your top possession user, our offense is not going to be very good. But if you go to kind of, you look at it for a second, and you, so if Joe Ingles is a 0.6 and Joe Johnson is right about even on who he is as a pack player, Dante was negative 0.4, he's got to get the Jet, and Favors was a minus 0.8, which was really poor. The year before, Derek was a positive 0.3. So if you can get rid of those negatives, add Cephalosha, add Jerebko as dead even, then the next issue is Rubio. And Rubio has been a negative pack player because of his poor shooting for most of his career. So in 16-17, when Rubio had the very good second half of the season, he was a negative 0.3 pack player. In 15-16, and I've given you a lot of numbers and I'll try to fiddle around with it, Rubio was a negative 0.2. So Rubio's right at league. He's not nearly as bad as everyone wants to make him sound to be. You'd like him to get to even. So you suddenly have, if you look at our rotation, Rubio, if you can call him even. Axum, if he gets to the line a little bit more, is about even. Hood, the question is, can he stay even? Cephalo, back up to Hood is Mitchell. We'll see. Most rookies are negative. Ingles is positive 0.6. Cephalosha can be about even. Favors hopefully can be even. Jerebko can be about even. Gobert's far one of the top 10 offensive players in the league. And if that can hold, that's an average offensive unit. And then you add the top five defense, you're a pretty good team. Okay, I don't know if that makes any sense. I'll make all sense of it in a second. Before I do, though, let me thank Murdoch Hyundai for their support of the show, and let me make sure you know what's going on over at Murdoch. They have got incredible deals right now that I want you to know about. First off, I've gotten to know Blake and the crew over at Murdoch and really have enjoyed them. They're good, good people. They really take pride in the fact you're buying a car from their family. Second thing, a Hyundai. I didn't know much about it. I'm not going to lie to you. When they first came to me, I was like, yeah. I've now been driving the Santa Fe and the Tucson. I am so impressed what you get for the money and all the features of it and how well they drive. And really just compare. Take a second and compare. Put Hyundai on your list. If you're looking at your new whatever, Toyota or Honda or Lexus, like even take a second and look at what you get out of the Santa Fe or the Tucson. While you're doing it, realize this. For the next few days, 1.99% financing at Murdoch. It ends on July 24th because they partner with Golden West Credit Union. Plus, anytime you buy from Murdoch, you'll receive America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty and Hyundai assurance. But now, until Pioneer Day, they're giving you a 250,000-mile warranty. That is for real. Believe it or not, that is real. So check it out. Murdoch Hyundai in Linden, Logan, and Murray. Blake's down at Murdoch at 4646 South State Street. That's 4646 South State Street. Murdoch Hyundai. So let's take that full circle, and then we'll start getting to some of your questions. What do teams that have a top five defense do? I need to update this. But again, if you're the middle 10 offenses, 18 of those teams in the middle 26, 18 teams were 45 to 53 wins, 9 teams were 54 to 61, and 4 teams were above 62. Suddenly, if you can be a top 5 defensive team and an average middle of the pack offensive team, you get pretty darn good. I'll continue to do some research and work on it. All right, let's get to the questions. What's more important offensively, space or creation? Space. You got to have some people beat people off the dribble with space. Why Royce O'Neal? Are you ready for this? I don't know. I got to look in that contract a little bit more. It feels like it's one of those contracts where he becomes your D-League property. But if it's a first-year guarantee, then that I'm not sure what's going on with that. So quite honestly, and I don't know a lot about Royce O'Neal. True or false, Hayward could have made a sign and trade for a trade exception going to the Jazz, a condition of him signing with the Celtics. If so, why didn't he? Because he doesn't need to do that, and he could have. There was no reason to do it. He wasn't signing he wouldn't get more money for doing it. So he could have, but there was no one does that. He could have, but there's no one does that. Very few. I mean, I think Carlos Boozer actually did it for us. So very few players do that. And if you want to just bag on Gordon at this point, you're welcome to, and that can be a reason it's not a great one. The pick and roll now is used to get the matchup you wanted. We will see the Jazz use the combo of this method and the hard pick and the lead pass to players for sweet spot ups more now with Ricky running the point. More like how John and Carl ran the pick and roll. Well, that's a statement, not a question. Even though you have a question mark on the end of it, so I guess I could just agree. I'm not sure I see it that way. We're going to run the pick and roll. Rubio's a great ability to find guys. People are going to go under. Gobert's going to drop to the basket. People are going to have to stay with him. Rubio's either going to then hit that jump shot or be able to, with a search dribble going under, create enough opportunity for other people or become a little bit more of an offensive force. People are going to go under on Rubio, though. That's the reality until he earns it otherwise. And we have a pretty balanced group of good shooters surrounding it with high level gravity. I think Andy Bailey tweeted out something the other day that from a piece that on I think it was on FanRag, about gravity for next season and that the Jazz have some lineups that have some pretty awesome stretchability. And so I think that's what you'll see. You'll see an open floor for the some of the time. And then when Derek's on the floor with Rudy, you won't see an open floor. I forgot who had the stat, but steal rate translated to success in the NBA. Mitchell had the number one steal rate in the draft. Kevin Pelton generally talks about that. I mean, guys, there's a chance Donovan Mitchell's really good. Now, really good as a rookie is still going to be a little bit, you know, take some time. But there's a chance that he could be really, really good. Are we going to keep Joe Johnson, or is he going to want to move to a championship competitor? I like Rubio, but what would we have? Would we have signed him if we knew Hayward was leaving or let Exum take the role? No, I don't think we would have just let Exum. The question is whether we would have maybe gone to a Jeff Teague because we needed more scoring than a Ricky Rubio. But Ricky Rubio is a better player than Jeff Teague. So I would suspect that the Jazz would have just stayed with Ricky Rubio. But I'm telling you, I mean, that was really the choice, was Jeff Teague or Ricky Rubio, I think, in a lot of ways for the Jazz at that point. And so maybe the Jazz could have decided to do that instead. Had the Jazz decided to, known Hayward was going to leave, maybe they could have, maybe the value of Teague is he scores more. He's just not as consistent a day in and day out player. And so I think that jumps out to me a little bit more. So I think you still stay with Rubio. But the Jazz would not have just opened the door and let Exum play point. I'm not sure that Exum's a point guard. I mean, I'm not sure that he has signed that, shown that ability. All right, let me go to some of the other questions. What the Jazz have done here, by the way, though, in their signings is they've allowed for Rubio, Hood, Exum, and Mitchell to have clear path to development. Does Rudy add anything to the offensive arsenal this year? Baby hook, 5-foot turnaround? Maybe, but, I mean, just better around the basket rolling is all you need. I know Ron Boone talks about this all the time. I love Ron to death. I just disagree with him on this. I don't really know what he should be adding. Maybe just if he catches and they stop the roll, he can still make a play at 5 feet. It's still not a particularly efficient play. The post-up is the worst play in the game, so you don't want that, and we post up very, very rarely. So I'm not sure that I see a huge desire for him. I mean, he can work on those things and get better, but I would say I don't see a huge there. Should we try to sign Noel? No, I don't think we should. Are we going to keep Joe Johnson? I just answered that question. All right. I think I've gotten to most of those questions. Let's see if there were any more. I had another Royce. Sorry, let me just make sure we got all the questions in today. I had the upside down video there for a while. All right. Thanks for all. Thank you. Ingles or Cephalosa, who will start? I think Ingles will start. You're upside down. How much better will Rubio make Gobert offensively? Well, Rudy was great last year, so let's not underestimate that and discredit what other guys did. But there is a chance that Rubio could make him even, you know, DeAndre to the next level, to DeAndre Jordan, 71% type stuff. What excites me about Mitchell? What gives me pause about Mitchell? What gives me pause is when you look around the NBA, it is hard to find 6'3" shooting guards that are really that good. You kind of get to Avery Bradley and stop. What makes me then decide, well, what happens if he's not a shooting guard? What happens if he's a 1-2 unicorn out of and a dominating scorer out of the mold? I mean, we're talking about all-star players here, but Damian Lillard and Russell Westbrook and things like that. Well, then you get pretty excited. His defensive tenacity, his joy that he plays the game with, his athleticism, those are the things that excite me, and hopefully those maintain. There's a chance that he's really, really good. There's a chance that he's really, really good. All right, I think in this messed up various world of of the internet world that is Locked On Sports Facebook. Didn't work very well. That we are clear. Oh, is Ryan Anderson's contract that bad that no one will touch him? He seems like a perfect fit for the Jazz. No, his contract is that bad and that long. But there's a chance if something else doesn't go. It's interesting, by the way. I think the one team that Carmelo could help is us. I don't really want him. That's not what I'm looking for. But I do think that he is the one. Like, I look at Carmelo in Houston. I don't think he makes Houston better. I actually think Carmelo could help us because he would help. We need that scorer. I'm not sure it's the right move for us, but just in that single season, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't, you know, he'd block a trade, but it's just an interesting, I'm looking at, I don't think he makes Houston better. I talk about this on Locked On NBA. And that's, I just don't think Carmelo makes Houston better. That's my point here. Well, I'll talk about it on Locked On NBA. This has been Locked On Jazz. Thank you very much for tuning in. Appreciate all of you. Thanks as well to Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate and to the good friends over at Murdoch Hyundai for sponsoring today's show. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.